Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Ali Weigart. I live in Venice, California, and I am the founder of Bonks. Bonks are everyday undies on the go. They are the ultimate personal care and sundry item. The point is to carry these little packaged undies everywhere you go, so you'll always have a fresh pair of underwear.
Amazing. So how did you get the idea for this company?
So the idea came to me on a trip with my mom. We were on a hiking trip in central Mexico, and we were on a tiny carrier airplane, and all of our luggage had to go underneath. And for some reason, by the time we landed, our luggage wasn't there. And the first thing that came to mind was, okay, I can wear the clothes I have, but I'll have no clean underwear. And my mom, who's, you know, always a very savvy traveler, pulls out a pair of underwear and a Ziploc bag from her purse and, you know, said, I thought I taught you better. I always carry a fresh pair of underwear on me. And in that moment, you know, just it was a very gentle light bulb moment, but I am an apparel designer. That's what my career has always been in. And I thought to myself, I can make this company happen. I'm going to do this. There are a million and one, you know, intimates brands out there. And I was never looking to compete with any of those, you know, big companies or even startups. Really, I felt like this product was something different and more unique, something that would sit next to femcare items or in a convenience store next to toothbrushes, just a real, you know, a new spin on a grab and go convenience store item.
Awesome. So is your customer like, you know, women who travel essentially? Is that who you designed it for?
We like to say the on-the-go gal. So Okay. Yes, she travels, but, you know, she's also going to pick her kids up from school and she's going to a workout class. And, you know, I live in LA and I sit in traffic a lot of the times. And sometimes from point A to point B, it'll be 110 degrees and I'm sweating in the car, and just being able to swap out and put on a fresh pair of underwear. It's something that you wouldn't expect to really make you physically and mentally feel so much more confident.
That's awesome. So in terms of your business today, is it mostly D2C on your website, Amazon, retail? Where are your customers mostly shop for your products?
Yeah. So it's definitely been a challenge for us because you don't know when you need the underwear. So DTC is challenging because people and customers are not always attuned to buying an emergency item before the emergency. So we kind of had to be a little bit strategic in communicating to our DTC customers, these are everyday underwear. You can wear these every day if you'd like, or buy them now because you never know when you'll need them. From a retailer perspective, they understand it. You know, a big portion of our brick and mortars are sitting in high travel locations. We're talking like a Daytona Beach, Florida, a t-shirt shop on a boardwalk there. They get people who either forgot to pack them or have a period stain or a myriad of reasons why they need to go grab a toothbrush, femcare, and a pair of undies. So those customers have a totally different strategy. You know, we're still new, but we're hoping that when they see us in store, they'll recognize us from being targeted by an Instagram ad, or, you know, we just had a post that went viral that was really exciting. It's still happening right now this week. So I'd say, you know, the challenge is that we have to have two different strategies for DTC and brick and mortar. And then honestly, we have a completely different strategy on Amazon. She's a totally different customer. We've figured her out. And it's interesting to have created a very simple brand and then have three totally different customers.
Awesome. So let's talk more about the viral post. Like, what was the post, and on what platform was this post?
Yeah. So I, it was posted on TikTok and on Instagram, posted them separately, probably about a week apart or so. And I noticed that it had gotten a lot of organic traction on TikTok. So I decided to just boost it a little bit, you know, a couple bucks. And it got way more, I think it got a couple thousand more views than TikTok predicted, which is good because usually I'd say it's usually within that ballpark. I just started running ads a few weeks ago and self-started, you know, totally self-funded business. I do not have financial backing, very bootstrap. And I'm working with an agency who's also very scrappy. And we're running $5 on each platform a day right now. That's it. And this was one of our very first paid ads that I've ever, ever done. So, you know, instead of boosting it, this was a lot more targeted. We ran, it was just a few dollars, and we used this same UGC content, which is a really sweet video of a girl going to a concert and her carrying her bonks at the concert. And because we knew that it had kind of gotten some organic traction on TikTok, we tried that on Instagram and we're over 200,000 views. Wow. Which for us is very viral because
that is viral,
we have 18, you know, we're just shy of 1900 followers. So that's a lot of visibility for a bootstrap brand like Bonx. And we only spent, I mean, few dollars.
It's amazing. So yeah. In terms of your retail, right? Because you mentioned, for example, high tourist locations like Daytona makes sense. Mm-hmm. So do you have any stores like big box stores? Is that part of your strategy? Or do you may even sell to like hotels or hotel chains like in their store? What does that look like?
Yes, resorts. We have success at resorts. That's a big angle for us. I've been trying really hard to get my foot in with airports. A lot of those stores are franchised, so it's a little bit tougher with some of those chains. And, but I'm still really trying that angle. So grab and go high traffic locations, whether that's a resort where people aren't leaving and they're not going to go to a Nordstrom's and buy a pair of undies. .coms, we were on Macy's for a few months, which was good. But again, it's a tough brand for majors, for apparel majors to understand because they know they already have their bread and butter brands that work really well. So ideally, when it comes to majors, our positioning will be more in the drugstore arena. So, but part of me hesitates. I have a handful of mentors who have had a lot of success in CPG, and they've kind of warned me, once you get into those big bucket stores like CVS and Walgreens, it's really hard to keep your boutiques because you become mass. And so there's a bit of a delicate dance that you have to do because sometimes it can affect your brand. I do think, however, so many of the majors are really wanting to uplift small brands and bring a lot of newness to their shelves. So I'm hoping that that way of thinking is kind of in the past, because we are seeing a lot of really cool, innovative new brands that are opening up at majors. But yeah, I mean, I'm not there yet. I would like to be, but I'm still trying to saturate in more of those like really high traffic locations. You know, places like that Daytona Beach shop that I was mentioning, that's not just a one-off, you know, they have 15 doors in Florida. So a lot of times these smaller convenience stores that we see tend to be just a wing of a much larger branch.
For sure. So in terms of like your concern, is it more so like if you have like a smaller retailer in Florida, right, then if you were in CVS or Walgreens, then you'd be competing against them. And then, you know, the customers would probably be shopping more over there because it's like a, you know, like a more well-known name.
Yeah, absolutely. And it depends on your placement. I don't think the same goes for an Ulta or a Sephora. I think it's usually kind of more in the drugstore arena, but sometimes that can, I think it really depends on the retailer because Target has accelerator programs and Kohl's has accelerator programs that are really trying to get indie brands such as myself in those doors, and they help you create the structure because it's it, a lot of times a store like Target can sink a brand if you get chargebacks. And, you know, I've heard some horror stories of small brands that went too big too fast, and they weren't able to keep up with the cost and the chargebacks. So I think that it really depends store to store what your strategy is. My strategy at the moment is not going too big into those majors, because the response from these smaller brick and mortars has been really strong.
For sure. So obviously now, you know, we just wrapped up Q1 of 2024. So for 2024 to be successful for you, like, what are some of your big objectives for this year?
Objectives is, I had a really successful trade show in January, and I felt like it was the, I've done a handful of trade shows. It was the first trade show that I had done where I really felt like the buyers understood the brand and they were excited about it, and they were making very meaningful orders and so far reorders. So that was a sign to me to kind of hone in on this particular segment of the industry, which is sport, which is like sports, outdoors, and it was Surf Expo. So it's not just surf shops that are buying. It's, as I mentioned, souvenir shops and very kind of travel heavy stores. It was just a terrific market for us. Our placement on the floor was great. We sat next to a lot of aligning brands. We'll definitely do it again in the spring. And I hope to do outdoor retailer as well in Utah. So I think moving forward, being a lot more focused on the brand and who's buying it is more of a strategy. It took a while. You know, the buyership is different than when I first launched. I thought it was going to be more in the boutique arena, in like women's fashion boutiques. And that hasn't been it for us. It's really become this more niche outdoor and travel industry, which I was also trying to target. But when you're trying to target so many different people, you're spreading yourself too thin. So
sure.
Now I'm kind of getting back to basics. I'm honing in on the segment. And that's really going to be the strategy throughout the rest of the year.
For sure. So obviously nowadays, many companies leverage high level technology like AI. So do you currently use AI in your business? And if not, where could AI maybe come in and add value in 2024?
Yeah, AI's for me, I think as a small business, and I'm also like really scrappy, I think AI is really exciting for me personally, because I'm a creative and I make a lot of the artwork. I do a lot of the branded content. AI can really speed up the time it takes to create a lot of this stuff. I mean, I'm sitting with a Wacom tablet drawing, and now I can just explain what I want into, you know, this really intelligent platform, and getting, you know, results that aren't always perfect, but close enough. I hired an agency to help me unveil. They focus just on AI art. And I had come to them originally saying, I have all this photography. I have all these raw, plain photos. I just want to put my product in like a rainforest, or put it in these different kind of scenarios. And we started there, and where we ended up was so off the wall in a different area, which was creating comic stripped characters in kind of a pop art style. And it was so cool and so brand right. And it was something that would have taken way too much time to create by hand. But we figured out the algorithm, and this agency helped pump out like 50 different characters for me in this really, really cool Patrick Nagel style pop art. And it was a way that I think enhanced the brand in ways that I don't think I could have made possible had we not had that technology. I do worry, you know, of course, on a larger scale, is this going to be replacing, you know, humans from getting paid to do art? Yeah, I mean, I am one of those people that I'm worried about is going to get replaced as a designer. But I think it also takes a lot of aptitude to learn those platforms and understand how to use the technology. So it's just going to be a new way that people will employ their skills to create art a different way.
Yeah, I don't see it taking jobs, but I think it's more so like making people's jobs easier because like, you know, as you said, these things would have taken weeks. They're still like applicable. You still need like a human element, but now it just makes it simpler. But have you thought about AI for like customer service to explain your products, chat, things like that?
Yes, I have. It hasn't been a need yet, but I'm definitely considering that moving forward. And I imagine that some of these SaaS companies are way ahead of me and are already doing that. You know, the what's that brand called that does all the customer service? Gorgeous. I'm sure that they're already, you know, on top of that stuff.
For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
You know, I definitely have some pretty big areas of my business that I made mistakes on from the get-go. They were questions that industry friends and mentors challenged me on. And I thought that I had a really, really good response and I stuck to my guns. And I think that I wish that I would have had more of a conversation about it. But at the same time, there's some specific things I'm thinking of in terms of my SKU count and my assortment offering. However, I really, really needed to go through the process in my own head in order to learn from it and understand why. So I don't have regrets, even though those regrets come with money, because this was my first real attempt at putting a product out to the masses. And I'm really able to fully, like, have full visibility as to why that was a mistake and what I should do moving forward. And I don't think I would have been able to realize that had I not done that. So yeah, I mean, hashtag no regrets.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think to your point, it's like, it's not even about regrets, more like things that you've learned. Cause I mean, it's one thing if somebody tells you something, but you don't learn it the same way.
No, you
and
don't.
And every company's different. Like they might've had their experience with something else, like your products, you know, very unique product. So it's really different to any other CPG product for sure.
Yeah. I would say like one thing of advice would be, I think in today's day, when it comes to CPG in particular, we're very quick to want to get out and get your product in front of VCs and start pitching. And I would just really, really recommend looking for alternative ways of financing. I'd say the brands that I know of that have had the most success and longevity, or some of the brands, because I do have friends who have had serious VC funding and have done extraordinarily well. But a lot of these had angel investors, or honestly took out bank loans and just believed in their product and were able to, you know, just utilize their bank. And whether it's not your local bank, whether it was like finding someone in Indiana who believes in you and is willing to take a chance, having ownership of your brand is so important. I mean, I am so married to the voice of my brand. Every, you know, it's very obvious. The people that know me, who follow me on Instagram, understand that that voice is coming from me. AI can't replicate that yet. They cannot replicate my ability to use puns and have really cheeky innuendos. That's not there yet. Probably will get there very soon. But when you give part of your company away, I really do believe you lose a lot of your voice, both when it comes to behind the business and in front of the business. So
100%.
Being able to be scrappy about how you fundraise, whether that's grants, pitch competitions, family and friends round, I would just hold off on having those VCs, you know, take nothing against them. And maybe your brand needs that because you have significant capital that you need in order to even get your product out the door. But if you're a CPG company like mine, you know, slow and steady can win the race.
100%. I agree. Yeah. I mean, you really need to prove your concept first. Like I tell people, I'm like, even like when it comes to ads, right? It's like, find product market fit, make sure like you understand who your customers are, you know, take it slow and try to, cause you're going to have to iterate and pivot. And many people do, right? So you might think of products for this audience, like as you said, and maybe on Amazon, it could be for one person, maybe in retail. So it's like you kind of, you know, obviously that you're early on, but I feel that you definitely have that down, which is awesome. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
I would see a lot more market saturation in those sundry aisles. So that is definitely where my focus is. Obviously, a major would be great. but my eyes are really settled on saturating a lot of these smaller chain operations, a growing Amazon business. I have two really exciting concepts in pre-production that are going to be out later this spring that will just help expand the brand, both in the, you know, intimates undies realm and also outside of that. So I think that that will just help support exactly where I want to sit even more. And yeah, I think you're just going to be seeing a lot more of Bonks out there, whether it's, you know, continuation of hopefully some of this virality or in front of your face at your local pharmacy.
Awesome. And we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Yes. You can check us out at our website at buybonks.com, BUYBONKS. Our Instagram and TikTok handles are official Bonks.
Awesome.
Well, shoot us an email. Hello at Buybonk. It's awesome. Me on the other side.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, Allison, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. This was so great.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.